Hello again and welcome to our podcast. This is the podcast that complements the quarterly lifestyle magazines in Noosa Magazine and Hello Sunshine Magazine. My next guest is the driving force behind the Vanilla Food brand. There's a cafe, retail and cookbook. The Vanilla Food cookbook is on sale in the In Noosa Magazine shop on our In Noosa website and on vanillafood.com.au. Now, in this episode, you'll hear the story of a rebellious teen from Denmark who dreamt of travel and ended up a successful businesswoman on the other side of the world in a country she now calls home. Everyone has a story, and today I'd like you to meet Nilla Tompkins. What's your ancestral heritage? I don't think we've ever sat down and talked about it.
I was going to say, you know that. No, Danish.
Danish?
Yeah, so I grew up in Denmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long? Like, what did you, how long did you live there before you
So I lived in Denmark, grew up in Denmark. I lived there for 26 years.
Yeah.
And I just got my Australian citizenship, and I've been in Australia half of my life this year.
Oh, wow. So. But let's talk about the early days growing up in Denmark. What was that like? I've never been to Denmark. I'm in Europe. Is it like a typical European country? What's the culture, the food, families? What's it like in Denmark?
So I grew up on a farm out in the country.
Your parents were farmers? Your dad was a farmer?
Yeah, my dad was a farmer. I grew up with two older brothers, and we were always out and about in the forest and foraging mushrooms and really? Picking plums and apples. Yeah. And yeah, I had a great childhood on a farm, roaming around.
What kind of farm? Animals?
Cattle. Dad had a cattle farm. Yeah.
So is Denmark renowned for producing?
Denmark is renowned as lots of fisheries. Like there's lots of ocean around the country, so there's lots of fishing. That's one of the primary industries.
So it sounds like your memory about growing up on the farm is about food and the things that were growing on the farm.
Yeah, absolutely. Mum was always had a big vegetable garden. I was always out helping picking, and peas we did. I remember that was a really renowned memory of my childhood was picking peas and shelling the peas. On ends, like that's kilos and kilos.
Yeah, that's a common, I see, you know, even some Aussie films where there's mum and the kids around the dinner table. Yeah. So
peas and carrots.
Where did your passion for food come from, and cooking, preparing food? Was that from your dad? Was that from your mum?
Definitely from mum. Mum was always baking. She was a huge baker. So I got introduced to especially sweets from a very early age. I was always helping my mum in the kitchen, baking biscuits and bread. We did lots of bread, sourdoughs growing up. So, I just loved it.
Yeah.
And I thought, it was not until later in my life I thought that, oh yeah, maybe I can make a career out of that. It was not on my mind when I was a child at all.
So did you do something different when you left school? Like when you went to uni, did you study?
Yeah, so I went to uni, studied PE teaching.
PE?
Yeah.
Physical education?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So I went to uni
What made you choose that?
I grew up doing lots of sport. I was always playing sport. I was a very active child. Playing soccer, the European handball, tennis. So, yeah, I was always playing sport. And I decided that, I would like to go and teach kids to play sport.
Yeah.
But then I decided to go travelling instead. And I dropped out of uni.
I was going to ask you whether you completed your studies.
No, you
didn't.
No.
What sparked that? Did your siblings go travelling? Did your parents take you on holidays? Were you across the border? Because I know it's so easy to travel in Europe because everything's so close. Mm. Was that the thing, or was it just a desire?
I think I was always very adventurous, even as an adventuring child. I was always out and about exploring. That was what I always did. I think I was quite younger than my brothers, so I had a lot of time to myself, and I was always exploring everywhere, the forests and just on the farm, by myself a lot. I was always a bit of a loner growing up.
Yeah, and a lot of friends.
I had a lot of friends, but I liked my own company.
You preferred your own me. Yeah. I like my own company too. Company. Yeah.
But then I think I was just decided that no, I want to see the world and went traveling.
Right. So it wasn't that your sibling, your brothers had traveled or your parents took you anywhere. It was just. Did you read a lot? Because I remember in the early, I grew up in a small country, but my thoughts of seeing the world came through books. And did you?
Yeah, I did read a lot of books as a child. I don't seem to have time to read books these days.
No, I haven't read a book from cover to cover since
Max
was born.
But I did read books. Yeah, I know. It's
That's
a bit like
terrible,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I did read a lot of books.
Yeah.
And I guess that came out that, yeah, travelling was...
Where'd you go to first?
I did the Greek islands, and Italy was one of my... we went to London a lot as children. We did a lot of field trips with school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, around Europe. We went to... I guess I did a lot. I went to Prague a lot with school. Went to Paris.
Okay.
Amsterdam. London was... Because it was so easy
of course.
Access.
Yeah,
you would catch
yeah.
a train or the bus. You didn't catch a plane those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that for school. And then I think my first trip by myself was to Italy and Greece without the school.
And solo? Or with a
no,
partner?
I had a friend, a girlfriend and I went to the Greek islands for a couple of months. We took off and...
That's a long time.
Yeah.
How did you survive? What did you do? Did you...
No, we worked before we left. So it was, when we finished school, we decided that, yeah, let's go travelling. So we did worked a whole summer period and then went travelling for 2 months.
Yeah. And talk about, I mean, the Greeks and the Italians, very big food culture. Was that part of your exploration as well? Did you...
I think not at the time. I don't think so. I hadn't gotten into the whole food thing by then. But I certainly liked eating. I always liked eating.
We all do.
Eating.
Yeah.
but it wasn't a thing I would say, oh, yeah, this is what I want to do as a career. Definitely not at that
so
stage.
So what were your plans? Did you think, okay, you know, you dropped out of uni. Did you have an intention of going back to uni and completing your degree or what?
Yeah, I think at that stage I did.
Can I ask you what your parents said at the time?
Oh, my dad didn't speak to me for a couple of years.
Especially when
after I dropped out of uni.
You
he had
worry about
big
kids.
Plans for his youngest
What did he want
child.
You to do?
He wanted me to go to uni, finish uni and get
just
a degree.
Just get a degree. have a safety net.
Have a plan.
Net.
Have
yeah,
a plan.
Yeah.
But Mum was very supportive. She's never put any pressure on us to what to do. She said, whatever you want to do, I'm sure you do your best and you'll be successful.
Are your mum and dad still alive?
My dad passed away 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Mum is still alive.
Right.
She's 85.
Right.
So, yeah.
When did you reconnect with your dad after this period of you weren't talking for a while?
I think when I had children, we kind of reconnected again. It was a few estranged years there.
Yeah.
I think I was just a bit of a rebel and not really what
Were
my
you?
Dad...
You strike me as a rebel, but...
I was.
A rebel. What rebellious acts? What are we talking about?
Dropped out of uni and I was always... up to no good.
Really?
Always.
I can't imagine.
I know. I was very naughty. I was quite naughty.
Were you?
Yeah. I was very naughty.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I didn't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. I was always playing up and always having... Dad was always having parent-teacher meetings.
Yes, sounds like us.
Because I was naughty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't want to go to school. I was bored.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. So.
What I'm always interested in as a parent, and I know you've got two adult girls now? Or
yeah, a 27 and a 25-year-old.
What did you learn about your relationship with your parents and the way you were treated? Because I'm exploring, you know, we've got a kid that's not, you
teenager.
Know... Teenager. He's not setting the academic world on fire. Mm-hmm. He loves school from the social aspect.
Mm. Yeah, I was like that too.
But what did you tell your kids about school or education or about... What was an important... message that you gave them? Were you as strict as your mum and dad?
I think I was strict in a certain way of with their discipline, but I never put pressure on my children to go to uni, or I always said to them, you need to do what you want to do and you got to be happy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell my kids to go to uni if that's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I think whatever you do, you can do whatever you want as long as you put your heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
I think.
Did you maybe raise your kids differently knowing how rebellious you were and
probably,
kind of challenges your
My kids were angels compared to me. They were very good.
Were
children.
They?
Yeah.
And you were aware of that.
Absolutely.
And
I was always
like,
aware.
You know, I was
always
a lot
felt
worse.
Very lucky for my girls. They're very good girls.
Yeah. And what did they choose as careers now? What are they doing?
My youngest is a dive instructor.
Okay.
And my eldest is studying architecture.
Oh, wow.
At the moment in Brisbane.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're traveling around, you're in Greece, you're in Italy. Mm. How old are you at this stage? Like early 20s, late
no,
teens?
No, I would have been 19.
Okay.
That time. Yeah, okay. 19.
Was Australia on the radar at this stage?
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. But it wasn't long after that I went to Australia the first. I think it was 20 or 21. Yeah. When I first came to Australia.
What was it that lured you here?
I don't know. I think there was a lot of, it was very popular in the 90s to go to Australia.
Oh, was it?
Very.
Because I was
going to
ask
Europe.
You what the impression of Australia was for Europeans.
Yeah, there was a lot of movement to Australia for travellers,
okay.
Backpacking.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was just like what everyone did and said, oh yeah, I'll do that too.
Okay.
So off I went.
So you came here.
Off I went.
And where'd you land first up?
I landed in Sydney.
Yeah.
Sydney, and then I travelled up. The first time I came with a friend, and we travelled up along the East Coast, bought a car, yeah. And travelled all the way around, down the middle, Alice Springs.
Did you?
Yeah, and down to South Australia, drove across to back to Sydney. I didn't do Western Australia the first time.
No, no, but so. Even going to the NT and Alice Springs, like...
Yeah. Opener for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So different
I was
to Europe.
I was going to say, even not just culturally, but the landscape
to so different
what
to
you were growing up on the farm and experiencing that.
Such a different.
So was that the moment that you, I don't know, did you fall in love with Australia? Did you?
I think I like the laid back lifestyle and the warm weather. I always remember growing up being cold. That's the summer. I always remember. Today, this day, I cannot stand
really?
The cold. I always remember myself always being cold as a child. So coming to a warm climate was, I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had to go all the way to Australia. You could go to Southern Europe. Mum always said that. Why do you have to go all the way to Australia? Surely Italy or Spain would do.
But then the huge cultural differences from what you're used to, and even Sicily and the Greek islands still, you know, miles away from what you would have seen in the Alice and stuff.
Yeah.
And so did you stay in Australia at that stage and kind of put down roots, or did you you still weren't decided and
no,
you still wanted to see
decided.
More of the world?
Yeah, we went to New Zealand after, and I really loved New Zealand.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I loved that. I loved New Zealand more than Australia actually at the time. Yeah. But I went back to Denmark and I said, oh, I'm done with Australia, I've done that now.
Yeah.
But then a couple of years later I decided to come back.
Why? What happened?
I don't know, I just think I was just working I started doing my chefing in Denmark.
Okay.
In a hotel, and I don't know, just a couple of years, and I was like, oh, my.
How did you end up chefing? Like again, you'd come back from Australia, and at that say, you know, you dropped out of a course, but you were keen on PE and sport. How did you end up in the kitchen or in a kitchen?
I think I just was earning money to go traveling, and I ended up in a hotel, and then the opportunity came up to start an apprenticeship, and I said, oh yeah, I'll do that. I was always up for a challenge, so yeah, I can do that, and started that. I liked it, but it wasn't my passion at the time, definitely not.
So when did you stick it out?
I didn't finish that either.
Oh, you didn't do that either.
So I went traveling again, and I came to Australia again, and I've settled in Australia. I had a couple of kids, met my ex-husband. I had a couple of kids in Australia.
Is he Australian?
He's Australian.
Yeah, right.
My eldest is born in Denmark, and my youngest, Emma, is born in Australia.
Yeah.
And I decided to, I really like Australia, I'll give it a go. And then I got back into chefing when I kind of got back into work.
Sydney? Where were you?
No, this was on the East Coast up here in Queensland.
Okay.
Mm.
And
then I moved back to Sydney. So yeah, I've worked up and down the East Coast and in various restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was that like to start with? I mean, you know, it's been two decades now that Australians and I guess the world, you know, there's more cooking shows and we were introduced to what happens in the kitchen with shows like MasterChef. There's a very glamorous side to that. And I get a similar thread every time I talk to people that have a passion about cooking and food, but it's hard work. I mean, you know, an apprenticeship is long hours. It's not glamorous in the kitchen.
It's not glamorous at all. It's hot, sweaty.
What kept you there though to pursue?
I think I like the service. It's fun. I get that adrenaline when it's really busy service. You have dockets flying at you, and I don't know. It's just that, I don't know. Just the feeling of being in the moment and just say, yeah, let's do this, and I don't know.
How much of the creative aspect did you enjoy, like coming up with different dishes?
I love that. That's my passion now, is creating recipes, and I'm more the backbone of the cafe now. I don't work as much in the kitchen as I used to. I love it. I like getting in there and back into it.
Yeah.
But I'm getting too old for it.
Yeah. But we spoke about the cookbook when it was launched a year or two ago. I can't even remember now. So there was a lot of hype around that, and the cookbook, Vanilla Food Cookbook, is still available. So talk to me about the creation of those recipes and the food that's in that cookbook. It's a vegetarian or vegan? How would you describe?
No, I would say it's vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
But most of them can be vegan.
Yeah.
You can change them over to vegan. I think. So the recipes in the cookbook is all from our cafes. And I've just, all the people have said to me for years and years and years, said, when are you going to do a cookbook? We love your food. I decided that this is time. And then COVID hit, and Deb, your wife, rang me up and said, let's do this cookbook.
Right.
We had the time, and let's do it.
I'm interested in how you come up. I like cooking, but I'm not I'm very basic, but I kind of plod my way through.
Yeah.
I'm interested in how you come up with the matching the ingredients and putting things together. Is it experimental? How does that work?
It's a little bit of experimental, but I also think
matching flavors.
I think I know what flavors go together. I think it comes natural to me. So, and it's being creative with different ingredients. And you get, especially in living here, you get a lot of seasonal products or ingredients, what you have to use. You don't, like, for instance, you don't have asparagus all year round here. It's basically using organic.
Yeah.
So what you get, that's it. You've got to work with it and be creative.
Yeah. Okay.
I think.
Mm. And what tell us about what you're doing with the business here. You've got the cafe that's running at the moment, and at the moment we're out the back and there's construction on, so it's a retail outlet, Nilla's Pantry,
is opening in April. It's pretty much take home meals for the community, so all the food that we do in the cafe and a bit more that we'll be selling in there. Got our lasagnas, soup, curries, all our dips and sauces and dressings from the cafe.
Yeah.
We'll all be bottling up and selling next door.
Yeah. Do you still have a goal or a vision in terms of like a 5-year, 10-year? What do you want to do? What makes you happy? Can I ask you that? What do you like to do day to day?
What makes me happy?
What gets you out of bed?
I take the dogs to the beach every morning.
Purpose. Talk about purpose. What's your purpose?
My purpose in life, probably cook healthy food.
Yeah.
For my family and my friends, and that's I love that. I love seeing people happy around a dinner table.
Yeah,
having a glass of wine and eat some delicious food.
Yeah,
yeah.
You planning another cookbook at all?
I have planned for that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Vanilla Foods' Nilla Tomkins. She was my guest on today's episode of Everyone Has a Story. And another reminder that the Vanilla Food Cookbook is available at vanillafood.com.au, or search for it in the In Noosa magazine shop on our In Noosa website. Until next time, take care.